Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the epistle lesson, and in the epistle lesson we will hear a very valuable message. As a matter of fact, there is a very valuable gift in the epistle lesson this morning. So I encourage you to have this with you. We will go through it together. And with that, please be seated. So my dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, yes, I can promise you today, I can promise everyone here, that in this sermon, you will receive a rich reward. And you're probably thinking, Pastor, how are you going to do that? Well, it's not I who does it. It's God who does it. It is God who will now fill your heart with His wealth as we listen to the text from the epistle written by Paul to the Ephesians. Now, one can hardly find a more richer text in all of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, for me, is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It gives us a portrait, a picture of the great work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then He, the Holy Spirit, adds the application. And even the application is much deeper than just a normal application. It shows us how preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ actually begins the time of the restoration of all things, as Luke writes in the third chapter of Acts. Yes, it is the gospel that actually restores us. It restores all things to us. Primarily, it restores for us and to us the kingdom of heaven. It is a portrait, as a famous English theologian once wrote, God's new society, or the new humanity in Christ. Therefore, our epistle reading this morning puts everything back together for you, beginning with what we were, then what Christ has done for us, and finally how all of this changes us. My dear friends, it changes us right here and right now and every time that you're here to hear, you're here to hear the preached word. Thus our theme this morning, what Christ has done before and after. So we take out our insert, and right there in verse 11, what's the very first words? Remember, at one time, that word one time in the Greek is pota. Pota means at one time. Once you were, where you were at one time. Once you were, what? Outside God's kingdom. Exactly what Paul is telling the Ephesians. At one time, we Gentiles, we were outside of God's kingdom. We were alienated. We were hostile. We were strangers to the citizenship and the covenant of Israel. That's what we see in verses 11 and 12. Therefore, it's right for us to say that at one time, each and every one of us, we were hedged about, we were encircled with a very high wall of separation. We were separated from God. And not only that, there was even a middle wall of separation that divides you both vertically between God, and that it also divided us as human beings. We know that as sin. It is sin that has divided us from God vertically, and it is sin that divides us horizontally from each other. This separation, my dear ones, is not along racial lines. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of hair or no hair at all. It doesn't matter what you look like. God has no regard for our humanness in the way of how we look. What God has respect for is whether we have faith in our heart. These nasty dividers, therefore, like the former East and West German border, and also the Berlin Wall, are a double division. If any of you happen to be in Western Europe in the 1960s or 70s, there was this ugly scar running down through the center of our homeland, our fatherland, Germany. And it was a very ugly scar. But then you would go to Berlin, and there was another scar upon a scar there running through the center of Berlin. These are depictions for us. These are pictures for us of the double alienation, the double division which you and I once experienced. We were separated from God, and we were separated from each other. Yet again, though, the cross is also a sign for us. The cross is a sign for you that represents also an ugly division. For if you look closely to the cross, what do you see? You see a vertical and you see a horizontal. And this also represents for us the once division that we had vertically with God and a horizontal division that we once had with each other. Yet what did Jesus do? Jesus willingly sacrificed himself, bringing both together, reconciling both by his death, pouring out his holy, precious blood, of which we'll discuss more in a moment. When Jesus went to this cross, this is a cross of life, and it is also a cross of reconciliation. Our once separated, fragmented lives could only yield to despair. Verse 12 tells us, you see it there in verse 12, at one time we have no hope, and we were without God in the world. Prior to your baptism, prior to my baptism, that was our plight. We had no hope, and we were without God in this world. Everything that could destroy the fabric of society and the fellowship with God stood against you and stood against me. So therefore, we can actually summarize verses 11 and 12 this way. At one time, each of you were Christless, you were stateless, you were friendless, you were hopeless, and dear one, you were godless. This was your wretched state, as Luther wrote in his great congregational hymn, which we can actually read for ourselves. Turn to hymn 387. Turn to hymn 387. Don't be shy. It's right there in front of you. Hymn 387. And look at stanza number 4. And as you read stanza number 4, there you see Luther writing about our wretched state. That was you and I at one time, dear one. We were wretched human beings, children of perdition. We were without hope. We were without Christ. We were without God. But what did Christ do? Let's go to verse 13. What did Jesus do for you? Yes, he did it for you. And you see it right there in verse 13. What's the word? But now. But now in Christ. What has he done? You all have become near. You all have come near by the blood of Christ. It's interesting that the Greek verb for near is a second person plural. All of you have come near. And it's a passive verb. It was something that was done for you and continues until the day you die. You are constantly being brought near to the blood of Jesus. And how does he do this? By hearing the word. And by hearing the word, you are led by the Spirit to this place. And here is the blood. It's always the blood, dear one. It's always the blood which is the price for your atonement. It is the blood which is your peace offering. Not by you. It's not your shedding of the blood that saved you. It is His shedding of His blood that has saved you. The very precious blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is His blood that brings you near to your Father in heaven. And this is exactly what Paul tells the Romans in chapter 3. What does Paul say? For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, as a peace offering, as an atonement by His blood to be received by faith. Yes, it was Jesus Christ who sprinkled, poured out His holy, precious blood unto the mercy seat. For He is the mercy seat, and He is your pledge of compensation. It is Jesus who has paid the price for you. He has paid your debt to God. And therefore, since Jesus has done this, the debt has been paid, dear one. It has been paid in full. Therefore, when God looks at you, He looks at you through His Son, and He declares to you, not guilty. That's what Jesus has done for you. He has taken away all of the hostility. The vertical hostility was here at the cross and will be forever ended. Therefore, peace was preached. Jesus' fleshly offering on the cross made both one and made one new man. You see that there in verses 14, 16, and 17. We note that it was in His flesh and in His body that God's judgment was appeased and reconciliation was effected. Again from the book of Romans. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Here, dear one, is your golden treasure. Here is your great reward, which no one should ever, ever miss. You see, God has given you a reward. And sadly, because we are sinful human beings, all too often we lose sight. We lose sight of the reward. But it's always here. Because of what Jesus has done for each and every one of you, you have direct access to the Father by one Spirit. Verse 18. The wall of hostility is now broken down, completely removed. It is smashed forever. The hedges of the law, the commandments of law and ordinances, have been made helpless by your Lord's selfless sacrifice. Nothing, therefore, nothing can separate you any longer from your Father in heaven. Again, back to the book of Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Dear one, we have hope. We have hope. Once again, dear one, this is your great reward, your great treasure. You have hope that what Jesus has done for you is the truth, and that His promise stands and it will stand until He returns, that He is coming again to bring you into His kingdom. That is your great treasure. So many treasures here. So many. Yet sometimes our eyes are just blinded to the truth. So let's go to verse 19. What are you now? Well, you've heard what you were before. You heard that you were Christless, you were stateless, you were friendless, you were hopeless, and you were godless. But what about now? In the Greek, it's araun. Araun, right now. So then, right now, you are reconciled, and you do have a new citizenship. And that new citizenship for most of you began right over there. That's why, again, we use the baptismal certificate. There, dear one, when you go home and see your baptismal certificate this afternoon, you can look at it and say, this is how precious this is to me. For this is my record of my citizenship. I am a baptized child of God. I have been reconciled, and I have been washed, and I am His. You are now God's new society. You are now living in the new temple, built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with your Lord Jesus Christ as the great cornerstone. So then, let's review. What are the three stages that made up this beautiful portrait presented to us this morning in Ephesians chapter 2? They are, number one, that you are once an alien. You were once alienated from God, but then He sent His Son to make peace with you and God. He sent His Son to reconcile us to the Father. And then thirdly, because what has happened for you at the font, you are now living in God's new society. You live in His kingdom, not in the future, but right now and forevermore. Therefore, there was a time when we were fragmented. We were fragmented wrecks at one time. We had our arms and we had our fingers and we had our eyes and our feet and our hair, and they were all disheveled. We were a mess. Your emotions, your desires, your wishes, your thoughts, your efforts, your strivings were completely counterproductive, even contradictory. They were pulling you in all the opposite directions. They were actually pulling you away from God, from His cross, from body and blood. But now, dear one, someone wonderful has come. By virtue of His seeking and by Him finding you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He now dwells in you. And by the virtue of Jesus Christ taking possession of your life, through word and sacrament, you have been made a Christian. You have been made an integrated, whole person once again. Therefore, each day and each and every day of your life, even in your weaknesses, you're being made strong. Every time that you confess your sins, every time that you repent of your sins, you hear those blessed, sweet words, all of your sins are forgiven. You hear those blessed, sweet words, come, eat, come, drink. Here is your great reward. It's here. It's here each and every time that we gather together. Here is where we fully realize, and here where it is given to you, that the great last day is coming, and that eternal life is yours, given to you freely, by what Jesus has done for you, not what I have done for you or what you have done for yourself. Those are contradictory. Those actually pull you away from Jesus. No, dear one, it's the cross. It is the cross. It is always the cross. It will always be the cross. For here is your life. Here is your salvation. Here is your reconciliation before and after and forevermore. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.